Good morning. Open your Bibles to Romans 13, please. We'll be reading from Romans 13, starting in verse 11. We're continuing our series on lust of the eyes, and last time that I taught, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Romans 13 and this instruction from God to make no provision for the flesh, which is a great practical instruction for us in dealing with this topic. We're talking about lust of the eyes in general, which is very inclusive, big umbrella and lots of stuff that could go under that. But really specifically, we're talking about pornography and dealing with that and trying to come out from being enslaved to pornography. And so we're especially interested in that, but mindful of the more general topic of lust of the eyes. So let's reread this passage, please. Romans 13, 11. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Okay, great practical instruction there. And that gives us the strategy to overcome sin, especially lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, those kinds of sin. Make no provision for it. The NIV puts it this way. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's just that idea, you know, you just, what's the old expression about getting a nose in, the camel getting a nose in the, it's not coming to mind now, but don't let, well, how about this one? What is it? Don't let the camel get a nose in the tent. Don't let the devil get his foot in the door. Okay, I think I've got it straight now. It's that idea. Make no provision. You don't want any part of this to get started. And we're trying to keep it out completely by radically, if it takes it, radically restructuring our lives. That this is just whatever we have to do to keep this out. Because if you think about it, the devil has radically restructured the world to make it full of temptations. There's immodesty everywhere. There's sensuality everywhere. He's got the world full of all of that. And so to the extent that we can't affect everything in our life, obviously, but we can reshape our sphere of influence and what we're around and what we're exposing ourselves to as much as we can. To drop a nuclear bomb in my life to change it and restructure it so that I can eliminate and avoid as many of those temptations as possible. Back in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. Spend a lot of time in Proverbs in this class because this is what it's talking about, these first few chapters are really giving a lot of advice, instructions about dealing with this sort of thing. And back then, of course, you didn't have phones. You didn't have online pornography. You did have lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. And he's teaching them how to deal with that very thing. So in Proverbs 7, he's painting this picture of this young man who's lacking sense. Proverbs 7 and verse 7, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes out to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. Okay, the description goes on from there, the temptations that she lays before him. Look in verse 24, Proverbs 7, 24. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. And do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Okay, so there's the instruction. That's one application of what we just read in Romans 13, 14. Make no provision for the flesh. Here it's, don't walk down that street. You know she's down there. So there's no reason to go down there. Just stay away from her. And so in some situations, that is literally the strategy. Don't physically go to this location. Don't walk down this lady's street. Or for us, an application might be, don't go to Hooters. Don't go to places where, you know, you're constantly having to bounce your eyes. There's temptations everywhere. You know, let's just go to Freddy's next door. Okay, so Here's a place where I'm not going to have the same level of temptation. But today, as we've really been talking about, with screens, this is on fire. This gas has been thrown on the fire. And it's not as easy as, well, I'm not going to drive to some location and be tempted. It's right here. We got it in our pocket. The potential is there 24/7, literally. And so we've got to get tougher, even smarter, because screens are everywhere. And so in order to make no provision for the flesh, we got to have to make some choices that maybe it seems ruthless, maybe it seems over the top to some people, but when I love my soul as much as I ought to, I'll do anything to protect it. I'll do anything to save it, just like Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5. Okay, so let me give you some excerpts from Jacob's book that I mentioned last time, The Way of Escape. But before we do that, any comments, questions so far in our opening remarks here? Anything you want to add before we begin here? Sir?
Job 31, verse 1, said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then shall I look upon a virgin? So there we go. You know, we make that covenant between ourselves and God that we're going to be focused on Him and not the world around us.
That's exactly right.
A couple of good things about Job's statement here. First of all, I'm going to talk about a company called Covenant Eyes, which I'm assuming they name themselves after this verse. But notice there, Job is talking about his mind, his heart. This is what I've decided ahead of time of how I'm going to avoid this particular sin, which is all a heart thing. It's got to get back to that. We're going to talk about some practical level stuff we can do, filtering, blocking stuff on our phones, that sort of thing, which is good. That's helpful. I recommend that. That's great. Ultimately, all actions, all behavior is rooted in the heart, Matthew 15, 19. And that's ultimately the way to address all of these things. And you see Job doing that. So we can tie this in with a sermon we just had. Job, a good example of having the mind that's able to maintain integrity despite all the distresses in his life. And here you see that as far as purity of mind, righteousness in the sense we're talking now. Okay, good comment. Anything else before we move forward, sir?
The previous verse 23, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Okay? So it's a lot at stake.
You know, we talked last time about the language the Holy Spirit uses to describe sin and its enslavement. You're a slave of sin, Romans 6, and those kinds of terms. You're entrapped in snare and in Proverbs 7, where he's comparing it to just like a bird. And you may not realize the danger that there is there. Otherwise, the bird wouldn't go in there. But God is telling us ahead of time, here's the danger, so stay out of the snare. This is the devil's trap for you. Stay out. Anything else? Okay, here's an excerpt from Jacob's book. He talks about four things to be decisive about. The first one is access. Decisive action about access. Delete apps you have used to access porn and commit yourself to not downloading or using them again. Have someone set up a parental password that locks you out of downloading new apps without explicit permission. This is particularly helpful for users who have one consistent means of accessing porn. Declare sites you have used in the past to be off limits. Add this to your list of accountability rules and ask your partner to hold you accountable to this commitment. This should include sites that are gateways where in the past you've either clicked through to find porn or been triggered to look for porn. Okay, so he's looking at it from a very practical standpoint, and this is good. I recommend this sort of thing to try to help, just to try to deter, just as a help. The devil's made it really easy. He is, to use a business term, he's removed the friction. So it's so easy that we can pull it out and we can start looking at stuff in 5 seconds. And so this is saying make it harder to sin. That's the strategy. Just make it or put stuff in there. It just makes it harder to sin. So it's not quite so easy. So put some of the friction back in. Over the years in our family, we've used various companies and various products to help with filtering, blocking, various things, to report screen activity. And there's been a lot of updates over the years. So if you've tried them in the past and they felt clunky or whatever, it's evolved a lot. Things are always changing in the technology world, and this industry is the same way. One that we've used, and I recommend this one, is Accountable to You. So this is just it's an app you download, you put on all your devices, put it on your computer, put it on your phones. And it's this one is not so much about blocking as it is reporting. It's the idea is you connect yourself to someone else. So it could be your spouse, could be a trusted brother or sister in Christ, could be an elder, somebody. And that's your accountability partner. And so if you go to a bad website, you can customize the settings, but it can immediately text your accountability partner. Here's the site they just visited. So it's a huge deterrent. If you know that's on your phone, you're not going to type certain things in. You're not going to search certain things and click on certain things. So it's helpful to do that sort of thing, just to have that, whoever that is for you, your roommate, your spouse, whoever, that can be that for you, to deter that behavior. So they're about monitoring and detection. That's the idea there. So that's a good one. In Galatians chapter 6, you know, we have this passage over here about helping each other with sin. And this is what we're talking about. We're trying to fulfill Galatians 6 and other passages like it. Galatians 6, 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Here's a way for us to do good. Be an accountability partner for a friend, for somebody, for a brother or sister in Christ. Do good, especially to the fellow Christian, especially to the household of faith. Do good, help them, restore them, verse 1. Verse 2, help them bear burdens. And so just say, you know, and I've known some in this congregation who have helped each other, not on porn necessarily, but just like screen time. Some people have done this, you know, set each other up on passwords with screen time. And he's like, oh, I got a little more homework to do. Give me a few more minutes on my phone or whatever. So that's a great thing to do. And if we could extend that to this, purity, whether it's accountable to you or some other app, that's a great way for us to help each other. What a great way for brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other, to be pure, to bond over something like that. That's great. Here's another company. It's called Covenant Eyes. This is one we just mentioned. Job 31:1, I guess, is where they get their name. And we've used this one before. This one is better at blocking stuff, I think, if they're still the same as when we used them. And much more sophisticated than the years when we used them. And I'm not a computer scientist. Maybe somebody who is can explain this better than me, but one of the neat things I was reading on their website, the way their app is working now, is a lot of the filtering and accountability stuff is text-based. So if you type in something, you know, here's a word you're searching for, you shouldn't be searching for, and of course it alerts on that and blocks it or reports it or whatever. And then I think, and this is where I'm not sure, isn't there a line of text with every photo that's online, like horses eating grass in a field or something? And maybe it's using that text, I'm not sure. And it's, okay, so it knows this photo is something to block. So it's text-based. But now some websites hide the text, and so that filtering doesn't work as well. And so what their new version of the app does is look at the images on your screen and then uses AI to see if this is bad or not. So here's the way they describe it on their website. Limitations of internet accountability. Internet accountability is text-based. It works great as long as the text of the page is clearly visible and accurately reflects the actual content. However, it is limited in its ability to accurately report image-based content. Since 2018, most websites have utilized HTTPS encryption. This means that the most important text on the page is hidden from internet accountability. This is why Covenant Eyes introduced screen accountability in 2019. Screen accountability is the next generation of accountability software. Rather than looking at the keywords in the text of a page, screen accountability analyzes the actual images on the screen for pornographic content. Screen accountability uses advanced AI to identify concerning images. These images are carefully blurred to protect privacy and reported to allies. So that's a part of their news. It's called the Victory app, the service that they have. So it's taking screenshots all day. I think it's one a minute that it takes screenshots, according to their Q&A, and it's just looking at what's on your screen. And then if it looks bad, according to their AI, it blurs it, edits it, texts your accountability partner. And so, again, that's a pretty good way. That's a pretty good deterrent to make sure I never have anything bad on my screen because I might get busted. So these are helpful. What we're going to talk about next is we got to get deeper than that to the heart level. But these are good on the practical level at just being deterrents in helping us stay out of there. It's kind of like having a digital person look over your shoulder. And so you're less likely to go astray. There's workarounds for everything. All of that is true. But these might be something that could help. Okay, let me pause there. Comments, questions, computer explanations, anything anybody wants to add at this point?
That one goes images?
Yes.
Okay, so like when I like YouTube, Google how to quilt this or do that right, or whatever. But you'd be surprised some of the stuff that pops up.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And that, yeah. And so...
I don't currently own that app, so I don't know how it would do YouTube. I mean, I assume if something bad was on there, it would alert, but you could text your accountability partner and say, watching YouTube, and this ad popped up, you know? Yeah. And that's going to be the case with any of us. Sometimes, you know, stuff finds you. That's why we use it, like, especially when our kids were little, because they're not looking for stuff, but stuff finds you. And you try to do something to keep that out as best you can. And so, it's there. The ads is there. The devil has saturated our society with stuff. Okay, Todd?
I don't want to get you off track, so if this is off track, then we can talk about it later.
Okay.
How is all this new AI stuff affecting this industry? Is that making it more accessible, less accessible? AI?
In that first class, I had researched some stuff where it's all in. The porn websites are, was the stat 80% of porn websites are incorporating AI into their websites now, and you can basically create your own pornography. And so it's there. They're using it. And I've made the point, every technology that comes out, the devil's going to harness it. And this seems to be no exception. Yeah, sadly. So more gas on the fire. Donald, did you have anything?
I guess it's not necessarily two words, but multi-layered approach and auditing. Those are two important concepts to remember.
What's the second one?
Auditing.
Oh.
So it's best not to go with a single approach, but maybe a multi-level approach where, for example, a lot of routers these days in your home, they have a button you can flip that says block all this content. And then if you have a virtual private network, which a lot of people do, short of a VPN, that could also block it on the device. So you've started to block it at the edge, you start to block on the device, but I didn't see who made that comment just a moment ago about YouTube and others, but you have social media that can, like Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all these things can get past those layers, right? And that's where something like this coming to eyes, if it's actually on the device seeing what you're seeing on the screen, using this advanced AI technology, can stop even further. So there's, a lot of times in IT, we don't just implement one single approach. We have a multi-layered approach that stops it at different levels. And, you know, with the buzzword of AI these days, you know, I use machine learning for a lot of positive things, but it can also be used for a lot of negative things, you know. And so, like you just mentioned in the previous class, a high percentage of content being generated by AI, taking this person's face and putting on this thing and completely causing havoc. But then again, you have something like Covenant Eyes that's using AI for good. It's able to see images that might have gotten past the other layers and be able to blur it or block it. What's interesting is technology is so advanced, it's almost like a chasing your like a cat and mouse kind of game. And with protected content, like with your movies, if you ever try to take a screenshot of your phone when you're watching Netflix, for example, you're going to get a black image. And without going too technical, they're doing things to put it at a certain layer that it's harder to detect. And so if you can, this is part of the whole cat and mouse game. So really, without going any technical, because I'll definitely, people's eyes will glaze over at this point.
Yeah, I'm
in my limit here. Yeah. Tech is so advanced, and they're trying to do ways to protect the content, right, from being stolen, which makes it harder for things like Covenant Eyes to see what's actually on your screen. So really, and all that is saying is multi-level approach, because when it gets stopped at your router coming into your house, it gets stopped at other places, there's bots out there crawling these websites and doing analysis and coming with a long laundry list of websites that are adult content or gambling or what have you. And then it checks against that database. Okay. But I'll stop there, because otherwise, if you want more technical details, catch me. But really, the whole point here is, and I'll touch on the auditing piece real fast, actually, because I did mention that word auditing. Just because you implement something, don't think that once you do it, it's safe a year later or 2 years later, even 6 months later. Continually to review what policies and what processes you have in place, because Covenant Eyes could be the best app today, but in 3 months, this cat and mouse game, these websites go do something that completely bypasses Covenant Eyes. They put it at a layer that they can't see anymore. So just, the point there is, just don't pretend or don't believe that if you put something in today, 3 months, 6 months, a year later, it's still the same.
I was hoping a computer person would raise their hand in class today, so I'm glad you did. Thank you. But yeah, there's always going to be workarounds, and the stuff is constantly evolving. And so ultimately, like I said, this, it comes down to our heart. That's the ultimate root of all of this. These can help, and I recommend them, and they can help deter us. But it's a help, not a solution, ultimately. Okay, anything else so far? Okay, here's another website. I'm not super familiar with this, but Pure Desire Ministries helps with this sort of thing, and they have on their website a list of these different companies. Here's Covenant Eyes that we mentioned. Here's another one, Ever Accountable. Not real familiar with that one, and then the list goes on from there. But there, I just wanted to make all of us aware, all that kind of stuff is out there. The technology stuff is out there to try to help with this, and there are people who are really, these companies are really passionate at trying to help people, which I appreciate, and that's good, and I think there's some use for that in our lives. Here's another excerpt from Jacob's book, Decisive Action About Physical Setting. I have counseled a number of young men who battle pornography in their college years. Some typical routines involve watching porn in their beds at night with the door to their bedroom closed so the roommates cannot see what they're doing. Radically interrupting this routine means committing to never having their phone in their bedrooms, never closing their bedroom doors. Others struggle when they have free time during the day and return home to an empty house. At this stage, I encourage them to commit to going to the gym, studying on campus, finding a new activity for this time instead of returning home. And so the strategy here is just trying to restructure your day, trying to make sin harder, trying to make fewer opportunities for sin. So if the weak spot is, okay, at night, you know, laid in bed, my phone, okay, make a rule, make a habit. You just charge your phone overnight in the kitchen. And it'd probably help your sleep, just period, just to get more sleep, healthier sleep. But your phone is out of the bedroom or something like that. And so when we're talking about porn, especially, again, all of this needs a deeper heart-level approach. Ultimately, we're trying to glorify God with our bodies and with our minds, and that's the ultimate thing. But on a practical level, we just have to identify those trouble spots and trouble times and try to do something about it. So right now, you're at church. You're not using porn. When you're busy at work, when you're with friends and family and you're busy and you're occupied, you're not doing it. So if we can keep ourselves occupied during especially troublesome times, that just minimizes the time that we're staring temptation in the face. So those kind of strategies to stay busy are good. And I think it's similar, again, to Proverbs. Proverbs 5 and verse 8. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. It's the same strategy. It's just the modern equivalent of that. The modern equivalent of Proverbs 5:8 is don't be alone with a screen. Or at least minimize your time with a screen. Okay, so again, some of these apps will help with this particular thing. Here's Accountable to You, again, the first one we talked about. And part of what they do is time-based activity alerts. So if you know, I tend to start going to these websites at night. And so after whatever o'clock at night, I'm not doing anything good on my phone. I'm not doing homework that time. I don't need my browser. You can set that on your settings. You know, after this, just alert my person if I'm doing anything here. And if there's actually legitimate use sometime, you text them and say, oh, I was actually making a Walmart order or whatever. So just, you know, it's all customizable. But let's use it. Here's the technology. We can use it. More friction to get to sin. Why not do it? Decisive action about emotional setting. Commit to reaching out to someone when you are tempted. Part of our healing from porn addiction will involve a stronger awareness and connection to our emotions. It may be that this is the first time you have paid attention to your emotional state. As you make changes, you will feel the ebb and flow of temptation. You will notice that porn has a stronger appeal when you feel stressed, angry, bored, or restless. You will perceive that you run to porn as a relief when you experience unpleasant emotions. At this stage, commit to reaching out when you begin to feel the pull of temptation. Have someone you can text or call. So this is, again, related to what we're talking about in Galatians chapter 6. You're trying to help. We're trying to help each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Hopefully we can come to each other with these things. If I have a deep, dark secret, I feel nobody else is like me or nobody else. Believe me, you ain't the only one with deep, dark secrets. And you might be surprised. And so let's help each other to be pure. We all understand that, Satan gets us. If it's not this way, it's some other way. He's trying to get to us, and we're trying to help resist him. And we're going to talk about turning to porn for stress release and for entertainment and stuff a little later in our studies, maybe next week. And then here's the fourth one, decisive action about resistance. Even with your changes, you will find yourself tempted at certain times. Now is the time to fully commit to resisting. Scheimer recommends the brace method when tempted by a sexual trigger. Breathe deeply, remember the truth. He advocates having important scripture memorized. Ask God for help. Call an accountability partner. Escape the situation. Okay, so I like some good practical instructions, I think, from Jake. Okay, let me pause there before we move to our next point. Anything to add, Cody?
One thing that Jacob does talk about, you know, like when you talk to him, you know, he's talked about this in Shield in detail with some of the young men. But one of the things that he really advocates is if you have somebody who does have an addiction to porn, when they're seeking an accountability partner, they need to be careful not to seek somebody that is also in an addiction with porn, because that might not be a great accountability partner. And this kind of sin is an embarrassing sin that a lot of people aren't transparent and honest about. And if that person is coming to you and they're wanting help, and you personally may have that sin in your life that you haven't been able to get over, you owe it to that person to tell them that you can't be that accountability partner. And so that takes some truth finding and some honesty, but that also should encourage you to say, you know what, I have some things in my life that I need to work on. And that should encourage you to therefore go find somebody that you can find an accountability partner with. Does that make sense?
Sure.
But he is very adamant about that, because if you get into that cycle, you're going to stay in that cyclic cycle of sin, and it will not end well.
It's hopefully it would be something where you could both help each other come out of this together. But I can see the practical insight there in. If it's just going to be something where we always excuse each other and we never improve, hopefully we could find a third person that would help us out of that and be kind of strict with us, be firm, give some tough love. Okay, sir?
So speaking of, I'm going to throw Ed and myself into the mix of this. We would be there for anybody that needs help with this. I know a lot of times college students do not have money. If they want to have one of these apps, come talk to one of us. We'll make it happen. So we'll be your accountability partner. Okay.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that leadership. Jackson?
One of the things that is also important to remember, I know for preaching, we hear that, well, we need to preach the truth, but do it so gently. I think maybe one of the struggles for some people, at least that I've talked to, is, well, I know it's wrong, but at the same time, I'm so scared to go to the people around me because I'm afraid of, well, I've been close with that person for years, that person's family. What are they going to think of me because I'm telling them this? And I think it's important to remember for those accountability partners that we're talking about that, yes, be there, be gentle, but also that balance of, well, yes, letting them know it is wrong in that pressure, in a sense, of what an accountability partner is, to where hopefully that behavior will be discouraged, but also doing so in a gentle way, where that person that comes to you is not going to stop going to because of how you respond. That balance is hard sometimes.
Okay, yeah, and that's exactly the wording there in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, that we're trying to help, and that gentleness is also there. Okay, good. Did I see another hand? Must have been one of my floaters in my eye. Okay, let's talk about identity here for a second. I need to redefine my identity. So now let's talk about the deeper level, the foundational level, and how we need to change it, because this is ultimately where we need to address this issue. All those other things we talked about is good and right, and I recommend those strategies. We're trying to We're trying to make it harder to sin. We're trying to deter opportunities, minimize opportunities, and all that. That's right. But this is an inside-out change, ultimately. And so no matter what rules we make, no matter what software we download, we're trying to change ourselves, our hearts, our minds, ultimately. And the other stuff is just helping us get there. In fact, here's an interesting thing I came across. This is on Covenant Eye's own website. Research shows that people who rely entirely on filtering software may seek out porn more often than people completely unprotected. And so I don't know why. This is some Barna research that came out a few years ago. They explain it this way. Some people discover that filters and porn blockers actually challenge them to find ways to seek out porn. It becomes a fence they can't resist trying to jump over. So whatever that is mentally going on that, you know, okay, here's a block, and so I'm going to find a workaround or something. I don't know what it is, but that's why we're talking about this. And again, Covenant Eyes themselves, one of these companies, is reporting this. So appreciate a company with integrity that's truly trying to help people and saying, look, our product is a tool, but ultimately you're trying to address it on a deeper level. And so I appreciate that about them. And of course, ultimately we're interested in pleasing God. God wants us to have pure hearts, wants us to glorify Him in our bodies and our minds. And that's our goal. God gives us the most powerful tool, which is our mind, and the ability to change our mind and to transform our mind from one thing to another. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. James Clear wrote a book a few years ago called Atomic Habits, and a neat book, interesting book. Here's a picture of the cover. And chapter 2 is about what we're talking about now, identity, changing your identity. He said how your habits shape your identity. And vice versa. And so his point was that it's easier to get yourself into good habits if you change the way you think about yourself, change your identity. So he recommends, if you're trying to quit smoking, instead of saying, I'm trying to quit smoking, say, I'm a non-smoker. And just that subtle shift. Instead of trying to start exercise, I'm trying to get going, just say, I'm a fitness enthusiast. And this is what fitness enthusiasts do. They wake up and go to the gym or whatever it is. And so just think of yourself in a new way. So this is nothing new. Here's the Bible teaching this thousands of years ago. Ephesians 4:23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Three passages teach that concept primarily. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, Romans 6. And here's that idea. I'm a new person now. So the old person sinned, the new person living to righteousness. And he's describing that in this chapter. So you don't change your lifestyle without first changing your mind, renewing your mind. In chapter 5, Ephesians 5:5. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, scan your eyes back over those verses, 5 through 8, and just notice how he's addressing sin. So verse 5, here's the sin, immoral, impure, covetous, idolater. And then look how it's addressed, verse 8. You formerly were darkness. Now walk as children of light. That's who you are. Your identity's changed. You're a new person. You're a child of light. Children of light don't do that. And so this has been in the Bible all this time, to think of yourself in a whole new way. Look in Romans chapter 6. Here's another one of those passages, old self, new self passages. Verse 4, walk in newness of life. You see that there. Verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The last class, we looked at even more verses here where it's talking about life and death, and it's talking about slavery, slavery to sin and slavery to righteousness. And again, this is how I conceive of myself, that I'm a slave of righteousness now. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. It's just a different way of thinking. So it's not that, you know, temptations just magically disappear. I come up out of the waters of baptism, and the world has changed, and temptations are gone. But this is saying you just look at life differently. And look at yourself differently. I'm a new person, and this is not what a child of God does. I'm walking in a new life now. And so I just starve those sins. Never feed them. until they're weak, and I'm just constantly killing them off. So Romans 6 is not saying, you know, try to cut back, try to just sin like 25% of the time. No, it's just completely dead to sin. That's how you conceive of this issue. It's a new identity. And then let's go to Colossians 3. Here's the other main passage. Colossians 3, notice the appeal to the mind, the instruction to change your mind, to focus the mind. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, I'm a whole new person. And by the way, that's a continual process. So don't think, well, I missed my chance. I was baptized years ago. I was supposed to change back then, but I didn't. And so, no, this is a continual thing. We're continually putting to death the old person and putting on the new self. In chapter 3 still, Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10, do not lie to one another. Why not? Because you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He's writing this to Christians. They've already been baptized, but he's reminded, this is the process we're going through. So the old me is, I would give in to the lust of the eyes all the time. You know, it just became a habit to me. The new me says, I'm a child of light. I'm a child of God. I'm pure. Pure people don't do this. And so I don't do that. I used to do that. It's not who I am anymore. Look back in Galatians chapter 2. Let's squeeze Paul in here real quick before we run out of time. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Okay, look at the wording. Maybe we've read that so many times, it's lost its meaning. So just really try to think about that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Would the old Paul have said that? We just read Acts 9:1 in the sermon, breathing threats and murder against these Christians. And now he is a Christian. Now he's saying, Christ lives in me. That's the new Paul. The old Paul wouldn't have said anything like that. Wouldn't want to be associated with Christ or the followers of Christ. But now he's saying, Christ lives in me. Same thing in chapter 3, Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Would the old Paul say that? There's neither Jew nor Greek. Doesn't matter. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Would the old Paul say to Gentiles, you're a child of Abraham just like me? No way. This is a new man. And so here, all this time, thousands of years, we've had this instruction and strategy here in the Bible for us to use. So porn makes us feel trapped. We feel enslaved. And we can do some things. We can do software things. We can restructure our schedule. We can try not to be alone. We can charge our phone outside the bedroom. We can do all that stuff. Put the computer in a common room, if that's possible, in the living room. We can do all that. And that's good. That's helpful. Ultimately, we're changing our identities to become pure people, children of light. And that's where the change has to ultimately come from. And these other things are just helps for us to get there and stay there. Okay, let me pause there. We got a few minutes. Comments, questions, things to add to any of that? Tough topic. I know it's a heavy topic for us to think about. Cody?
I always go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, where he talks about, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And so ultimately, as you're talking about this identity, we have to recognize that identity. And then, you know, if there's something in that heart, in our hearts, that is not good, we ultimately have to remove it and replace it with something that is good. If we don't, then this is what's going to happen. And until we do that, we're going to get the same results. And so we either time now, realize the grave danger of it, or we just keep living, realizing that at any point we could die of that state that we're in.
Okay.
Yeah, and to go along with kind of what Cody was saying, the weight of this sin, you know, Jesus talks about in Matthew 5:28, whether ultimately sin separates us from God, and that's the most important thing. We don't want to be separated from God. But this particular sin of lust has the weight of adultery. And whether or not you believe that 5:28 is literal, or if it's if he's just comparing that to the weight of adultery, you know, if you're married, even if you're not married, this sin affects your spouse. This is a sin against your spouse to the weight of adultery. Most, I think, men maybe wouldn't commit adultery, wouldn't commit fornication, you know, outside their, you know, outside of a marriage or before marriage. But maybe pornography is easier to access, so it's just between you and God. But it's between you and your spouse also. So remember that that carries that weight along with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good
point. It's a Jesus says it's adultery in your heart. I can't remember the verse, but I think it's in 1 John 3 maybe, where he's talking about being angry with your brother and you're a murderer. Not literally that there's a dead body, but he's teaching it's a heart-level thing, and this is something we address the heart. And you're right, there are real-life consequences for this sin that I feel like, oh, it's just me and the screen. No one else is involved, but they are. You're right. Your spouse, your future spouse are involved. Okay, great point. Anything else to add? Okay, this is, you know, one of those topics I said the first week, this is a scourge on our society. And we don't want to be naive to think that we're not guilty of it. Nobody in this room is guilty of it. Satan is really good at what he does. So we're trying to help each other. And if someone comes to you, I hope this class helps in this regard. And if someone comes to you about being an accountability partner, really think seriously about doing that, taking up that challenge and using one of these apps or whatever. Praying with, helping, checking in, because we're just trying to help each other get to heaven. And so this is not a time for us to have our egos and our pride and all this. Let's just do the Galatians 6 thing and really, really help. Okay, let's quit a few minutes early this morning. Thank you for your attention, and we'll plan to pick it back up next week.